Somewhere in this world there is a bodhisattva, an enlightened being, a very holy woman who talks to God from time to time. And never mind that Buddhists aren't theists. It's okay. Being still human, she sometimes indulges her curiosity when she has these conversations. And so one day she asks, "Nameless one, can you tell me what heaven and hell are like?" And the holy mystery, who was feeling educational that day, says, "I'll do better than that. I'll show you." So poof, the woman finds herself looking into an attractive room of people sitting around round tables. On the tables are bowls of the most savory stew you can possibly imagine, almost as good as my husband Bob makes. They smell heavenly, you might say, with onions and spice and a tasty protein for vegetarians and omnivores alike. A lovely sight. But then she notices something terrible. The people are emaciated, gaunt, sunken cheeks, pronounced rib cages. Worse yet, they wear expressions of total despair, and no one talks to anyone else. When the woman looks closer, she sees that their eternal torture is that their elbows are locked. There is no way that they can bring food into their mouths, and so they are sentenced to eternity, starving and lonely, in front of a nourishing plenty. She says, "Holy one, this is the most horrible, pathetic thing I've ever seen. Hell is unimaginable suffering. Take me away and show me heaven, please." Poof. She blinks. And there in front of her is the same room. Well-appointed, people gathered round tables, which upon which rest bowls of fragrant and savory stew. And the poor people's arms are rigid in front of them, making it impossible to reach their mouths with a spoon. But there's a big difference. Here people are happy, well-fed looking, chatting, laughing with the others, having a great old time. "Nameless whatever," she says, "I can see that these folks seem to be enjoying heavenly happiness, but I don't get it." "It's simple," replies the great evolutionary designer. "The people in hell are self-centered. They look only to their narrow selves, and so they suffer. In heaven, they have figured out that if they feed each other, everyone will be satisfied. If each person is willing to put forth effort for the others, all will have enough. If all feel responsible for the whole community, community will result. For all that is our life, for all life is a gift which we are called to use to build the common good." On this second to the last Sunday of the program year, now don't forget to bring a flower for the common good next Sunday and also something for the potluck common good afterwards. As we ease into summer's more relaxed pace, I hope for the common good here in our fellowship and in all parts of your life, whether you are a part of this congregation or not. This is Celebration Sunday, when we celebrate the official end of our annual budget drive, because we leaders in this church love this church and we know how important it is in the larger community. We have been very upfront about asking people for our pledges. Not everyone has been asked yet, but most people. Your financial pledge is an embodiment of your spiritual self. And the good news, David told you, that we have actually raised more than any campaign, that we have something like 10% more families actually committed, and we have carried on a campaign where we have spoken about it openly and just said this is part of the spiritual fabric of this church. The bad news is, you can see from the thermometer we have down here, the bad news is that we have so many things that we want to do to fulfill our vision that actually what we've raised right now is pretty short of that. And you will, if this continues and we actually end, finally end, and it's still the case, you'll be getting a letter with the budget that you'll need to approve that'll have cuts that we probably don't want to have. So if you haven't pledged yet, if your steward is still coming to you, think carefully about being generous, and you might even reconsider your pledge if you have already pledged. Sometimes in some churches, the minister can count the pledges on a given morning, and then if the minister doesn't like it, then they just close the doors and have the usher stand at the door and keep talking until all the pledges are in and everybody is satisfied. I would really just love to do that, but I don't think that I'm going to quite be able to get that one to work. So we'll have to do it in another way. In this area, as in all in a Unitarian Universalist world, we must choose to feed each other. My husband Bob and I pledge over 5% of our gross income because we want this congregation to fulfill its potential, nourishing those of us who are within the walls and helping to heal the larger world. The spiritual commitments in our life, the way that we feed each other for all that is our life, are expressed in so many ways. Yesterday, I officiated at that funeral for a child. There is so little one can do for people stricken with such grief. And I am just glad that this church can be some small part of offering love and support to folks who are in such a place. This year, our welcoming congregation folks have been so active, helping to bring awareness about the oppression that is still felt vividly by our gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender sisters and brothers. This year, our lively junior high-age pilgrims will be going to Boston in about a week, accompanied by loving adult chaperones, learning about our faith and its history in Massachusetts, and also watching Red Sox batting practice. Every Sunday, somebody comes in the door who has just heard of this faith of ours, a religion that accepts them where they are on their spiritual journey. Someone who has just heard of this place where the ties that bind are cherished, and we also honor the individual. This year, our fabulous musicians have pulled us deep and high into worshipful places. Places beyond thinking, places that transcend our individual differences or the theologies that we think sometimes matter. For all that is our life. This morning, sliding into summer, we're going to honor the many people who've worked so hard this year to feed us. Now, we usually discourage applauding in church because it moves us out of reverence and a sense of spirit. But sometimes, like in a wrap-up sermon at the end of the year, clapping, wild clapping, is 100% appropriate at the right time. I guess you could do it any time in the sermon. No. I'm going to ask various groups of people to stand. And when all of them are on their feet, we will look around at them and we will clap. They will too, because they'll be clapping for each other. And we will shout and we will whistle and we will stamp or whatever. It has been a busy, busy year. And many folks have worked so hard. All right. If you have... Okay. Got to back up for just a second. I'm going to ask various groups, various categories, and I ask you to stay standing until we get done. If you are somebody who is already standing, and I call a category that you're also in, which is going to happen, sit down for a minute and stand up again. So, and be looking around so you can see how many people do that sitting and standing thing, so you can see how many folks actually are doing way more than one task. Okay, would anybody who serves on our board please stand up? Tell you that board really, really deserves applause. Let's wait till we get through all of them, and then we'll just be wild, okay? Because there are lots of folks. All right. If you served on the Fall Fund the Faith Drive, please stand up. If you did anything to help the fall, see, there's the sitting down and there's the standing up. Here we go. If you served, oh, no, you have to stay standing up, Bob. Sorry about that, sweetie. How about anyone who served on the Bylaws Committee? Okay, there's a sitting down and there's a standing up. We want everybody standing up for as long as we have everybody, till we get everybody. How about the spring annual budget drive? Anybody standing? Woo, look, everybody's sitting down, standing up on that one. Stay standing, everybody, please. How about if you are a musician in the church, in the choir, or Being Human, or anything? Sitting down, standing up. There we go. Da-da-da. Love it. How about if you are the chair of a committee or a task force? Now, stay standing even no matter what. You're musicians, you get to stand for the rest of the time. We're going to...
Love it.
Yes. Okay, if you are not a chair, but a member of a committee or task force. Okay, there's a lot of people sitting down, standing up. Notice that? Okay, if you're a person who has done some little thing for this congregation this year, like greeted or read in a service or made coffee or cleaned up or anything, please stand up.
Or
helped in RE. I was just about to say, so you don't have to worry, Emmy, that they were going to be the next category. And you notice that a huge category of very, very busy people can't end up in service because they're working as we speak, our Sunday school teachers. Look around with love in your hearts, and let's all clap, cheer, stomp, welcome. You may sit down. That's a pretty impressive group. Hopefully it'll be even larger as the year goes on next year. These are the people who have fed us. These are the people who have worked ridiculous hours. These are the people who have had to take occasional abuse from someone who didn't want to be contacted about a pledge and couldn't be civil about it. I so hope that never happens again. These are the people who love this community and you and each other enough to dedicate untold hours of their time. And wild applause is so appropriate. Whether you are a part of this congregation or not, you can reflect on all that is your life. You can reflect in gratitude and humility on those who have fed you. And you can take a searching, not falsely modest look at the way you feed others and create community. Whatever or whoever you are, you can look directly at the people and the groups that make the world better. For all that is your life, do you use that gift to build the common good and make your own days glad? Whatever or whoever we are, we can feel the thankfulness that comes with recognizing other loving souls. As we go forth into our summer times, remembering your flour and food for the potluck next week, we can keep the story in our heart, we can create heaven.